tell you about this girl I know. I started falling for her before she even said hello. She looks the part, she dresses to impress. If I compare myself to her, then I feel like such a mess. Come sit down, enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the first and hopefully last Martin's House Analysis Podcast.
Oh.
I'm your host, Spencer, and joining me as always is Andy.
Hi, I'm sick.
And Ty.
Why are you making us do this?
Martin's House. We've had a lot of requests for this one. This is kind of a, I don't know, it's a forgotten adult animated show, but yeah. It's picked
for
up a little
reason.
Bit of steam online.
Spencer,
a little bit
I don't know why
years.
You're so happy to be doing this.
Yeah. No. I wish it had stayed forgotten.
People are remembering it and like making little clips and fan cams on Twitter about it.
I thought the Border Town series was bad. Oh my god. I cannot believe you guys are making us watch this.
Yeah, no, this was one of our most requested episodes in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured that we owed it to you all to do a little bit of an analysis on the first season of Martin's House, although it only had 1.5 seasons, so
yeah.
It's really not that much to talk about beyond this first season, but I think there's some, you know, stuff we can dive into here.
It is funny that they, I mean, can we just talk to the elephant in the room? It is funny that they canceled it directly after the blackface episode.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Which, whatever, your political opinions on that can vary. I don't think it was a bad thing, but
at that point, like, what was your plan?
This was like pre-2020 also, so it's
yeah.
not like when
so it's
every
not, it wasn't
blackface
like the 30
episode
Rock,
was getting pulled.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. We were still like...
No, it was just so egregious that they jumped the gun by 5
years. No, I get it, but it's like, we're a few years out from Tropic Thunder. Even then, this feels kind of late, you know?
Yeah.
No, but see, I mean, Tropic Thunder rocks, though.
That is true.
And
I
this,
guess it
this is the worst show I've ever seen. Mine is like, okay, watching Paradise PD was rough, and I do not want to go back to that. I don't want to do that last season. This was tougher, if anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, this was tougher.
It was like as offensive as Brickleberry and Paradise PD, but as just lazy and nothing as The Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
Which we did all 4 seasons of.
Yes, mm-hmm. No, that last season was a little... That was tough. Yeah. But now we're here to talk about
it's
Martin's House, which is even tougher.
That season.
Can we go to something good like the Great North next or something?
Sure. I think we're owed a break after
spending
4 years
that
doing
we're
cartoon
at now? The
analysis.
Great North is our is our great white hope.
Oh my god. It's fucking So do we want to get into like a description of the show for people who haven't seen it?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean I imagine pretty much everyone knows the show now, but like, there's probably some listeners that aren't up to date on
like
the
six
Martin's
months
House
from now.
Lore.
If you're going back to re-listen to this, it won't be as fresh in people's minds.
Yeah, no, this meme does not have a long shelf life.
No, it's going to be one of those things where it fizzles out in a month.
Yes,
but,
absolutely.
From the creators of literally nothing else, because they got this one show and everyone was like, we're not. You guys can't be in Hollywood anymore.
Yeah. I love their Wikipedia page because it's very clear they wrote it.
Yeah. Joseph Ratzenberg. And his writing partner, Bill Kramer, one of them is very Jewish and the other one is not. I don't know. He's like on the fence. But shit, I'm reading the Wikipedia right now. This was executive produced. Here, guess who it was executive produed by?
Oh, God. Who?
Seth MacFarlane.
Ah, fuck him.
Fuck it. It all comes back. It all comes back.
He doesn't
Didn't
have
you see
enough.
See that Seth recently is like just like a trailer for a new Seth MacFarlane produced animated series. Just
yeah,
dropped.
He has his fingers in every bad cartoon that comes out.
And he doesn't even like making Family Guy anymore. What the fuck is up with that? He just, well, I mean, I guess he just puts his name on it and gets a check, you know?
Well, being an executive producer is like, hey, this guy heard of the show.
Congratulations.
You don't actually have to do anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, our patrons are technically all executive producers.
It's the no, they are regular producers. an executive producer is like the closest thing that we have to a no-show job in modern America. Yeah. Like, this is like an executive producer is the Hollywood equivalent of going to a build site if like you're in the mafia and being like, hey, I have a friend who wants a job here.
Sometimes they give executive producer credits to people who don't even want to be involved.
Yeah.
Like, they gave Dan Harmon the executive producer credit on season 4 of Community, and he
you're
said,
gonna
like, yeah,
be
this...
an executive. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like as like revenge or something. Like, yeah, like yeah. someone ends up getting the executive producer credit on like Jack and Jill or some shit.
Oh, so you think you're a wise guy, eh? Well, we're gonna associate you with Grimsburg.
That would be very funny bit to do.
Yeah.
Make the worst movie of all time and then put all your friends as executive producers.
You think you're smart, huh? Well, what if we put your name in the credits of Crapopolis? Not so clever then.
Oh god, don't talk about fucking Crapopolis. I don't want to think about
it. YouTube has been giving me nothing but Crapopolis for like 3 weeks.
That
in a video being like, Joker created his Joker cloning machine, and Batman was none too pleased about it.
Ty, I'm so glad you, because I'm out of the Crapopolis hole right now. YouTube has kept me in there for a while.
Yeah.
I'm gone. That show sucks.
Thank God. Yeah.
Crapopolis, I looked this up, and I think the first art I got was inflation art. Like, literally, what? Like, the first page was inflation art when I Googled Crapopolis.
I gotta see this. We're gonna get to the show eventually, don't worry.
This was the sixth piece of artwork I got.
Wait, where is that? Wait, that can't be.
I'm pretty sure that's not.
That's a different thing. That's Crapopolis. That's completely different.
Yeah, no. It's spelled differently. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you fucking moron.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, no. This is completely unrelated. This is a different spelling. So there's an inflation BBW artist named Crapopolis, and then there's also Crapopolis,
which is Dan Harmon's new show about ancient Greece.
We should link up.
Okay, do we want to actually get into the show?
Yeah, let's talk about Martin's house.
So.
Okay, sure.
Martin's we follow house. Martin Miller, who is one of the more racist things I've ever seen on television.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had feelings that strong about Korean people, but when I saw what he did to this poor imaginary lad... I was like, I think we need to like go back in time to the 1950s and pull all our troops out.
Yeah, no.
We cannot be doing that. We after Martin Miller, we have heaped enough travesty onto those people.
Yeah. I mean, it's about like, you know, a young Korean trying to assimilate with a white school by changing his name to Martin Miller.
Oh,
and,
my God. So...
Yeah, it gets problematic fast.
I mean, it starts problematic because it's like, how do you make a Korean guy a Uyghur? It's like
historically, easily.
I know they're in real life, but just the amount that they like pile it, like it feels like he started as like a racist character of a black guy, and then they went into production and like the producers were like, we can't be doing that, it's 2014.
Yeah, so they made him Korean instead.
Yeah. Obama's at the end of his presidency, and they were like, well, shoot, what's another type of person?
They were like, well, Gangnam Style was big on YouTube, but K-pop isn't that big here yet, so maybe we can,
yeah.
Like,
legitimately, I want to, like, find an interview with these guys and see if, it, like, they mention him starting as, like, a black character, because there's no other way that it makes sense to me.
There's something so offensive about how in the first episode they have the character, like, being defiant, saying, I'm not going to do Gangnam Style. And then in the season finale... In the season finale.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I did that on purpose for the...
I know you did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In the season finale. Yeah, for throwback.
Very fun. We love it.
You know what's fucked up? Is that I start thinking about... I'm like, oh, it's the finale. Yeah. I hate it. It's
well, that sounds like a new problem.
It is. it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for the season finale, they have him doing Gangnam Style over the end credits. And it's so offensive. It's like, well, this kid didn't get to take a stand against, gets to take a stand against the culture that's trying to force him into a box. And he's like, nope, the box is fine.
It's also like 2 years late, which is hilarious.
Yeah, no.
Like, I get that it takes a while to make television, but it's like it was well past its sell-by date, even by 2014, I feel like.
You know what's really funny?
What?
They tried to get a cameo from Psy throughout the entire first season, and he wouldn't do it. He was just busy or something.
No, I wouldn't do it. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, here's the funny part. He was going to be in the second half of the second season, and then the show got canceled.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, good.
Isn't Gangnam Style about making fun of Americans? Wasn't that like
No, it's about
of the
making
song?
Fun of South Koreans.
Oh, okay.
Well. Yeah.
Wait, is it actually like a parody?
Yes.
Oh. I thought he was just a silly man who loved dancing.
No. No, it's about South Korean culture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew it was satire. I just forgot what it was.
It's a satire of how South Koreans are addicted to getting into credit card debt and buying expensive coffee.
Hey, looking over, like, hey, we taught you that.
To be fair, South Korea maybe has like the funniest like fail culture. Just it's like all the worst parts of China and all the worst parts of Japan into one country.
Yeah. No. Just all of the fucking like. Fucking suicides because they won't stop playing StarCraft and teenagers won't stop playing StarCraft.
Every single person
in the country is a streamer.
Yeah. Ooh, imagine that. Yeah. Ooh.
It's also funny that it's like they do have elections, but like every single person they have to vote for is part of the movie.
Yeah, they're
cult.
All streamers. Also.
Yeah. It's like, why not just have a dictator at that point? Like, if you guys are going to have, like, these fake elections with cult leaders representing different, like, parties, why not just elect, like, a cult? Like, why not just elect the cult leader?
Yeah.
Just have
Okay,
just
this
have
might need to be cut.
What?
But I'm gonna ask the question.
Yes.
So, you know the stereotype about, like, Koreans being afraid of, like, fans for, like, spiritual reasons? Like,
it wasn't spiritual reasons.
They should tell it to those K-pop groups, am I right?
I guess where I was going with this
Speak
is like,
uh-huh.
How do they have, mm-hmm. if that's like as true and widespread as like myth, as things may get out to be, how did like every computer that I've ever been next to has had a pretty loud fan? Doesn't that seem like a problem?
I think you can avoid fan death if you have like a window open or something.
Yeah, but okay. Then you're risking Eric Clapton disease.
Gotcha. Man. That's an epidemic.
Well, oh God, I had something. The Mooney call is so funny to me because it's just like, what if like a life coach influencer on Instagram got a million people to kill people like with gas?
For the president.
It's hilarious. It's amazing.
The mother of the guy who assassinated Shinzo Abe is still part of the Mooney cult and is still like trying to donate her house and shit to it.
Oh no.
She was like, please, please do not denounce me. I'm not my son.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my dope son who rules. I'm sorry for my pimp son.
Yeah, no, that's so funny. Yeah, no, it's...
And the thing is, her son got everything that he wanted from that assassination.
Literally every... Like, he got the political change.
Wins.
He got, you know, a fandom. He can get all the pussy he wants. But his mom is still like, nope, I'm giving my car to the Moonies.
Yeah. I love that guy. I hope he's doing good in whatever prison he's in.
I hope one day... Like, do they have that gun in a museum yet? I hope to be able to go see it.
Yeah, Museum of Trash. Yeah, the Museum of Modern Art, because it's a piece of shit.
Guys, let's get back to talking about Martin's house.
Yes, let's talk about Martin's
house. Yeah, we do
house.
Have to talk about Martin's house.
So,
oh, man.
Martin Miller.
Yeah, the plot. Martin Miller, he goes to school.
It's funny.
And he's
literally a garbage man. I mean, that just feels pointed.
He dropped out of high school to become a garbage man, and then he's re-enrolling Instead of getting a GED, he's like 21.
He's going back to high school.
I mean, I don't even get
why it's called Martin's house. We're never in his fucking house.
Do you think? Now this is probably
half of it's in his school. Half of it is on his garbage route.
Do you think? Yeah. Do you think this is a at all acute reference to the fact that fucking Hollywood loves casting 30-year-olds as high schoolers historically?
No, I think they're just stupid. He has a love interest who's a freshman.
And played by an actual high schooler.
Jesus. Yeah, no, you could tell this show was right before Me Too, huh? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Right. Even, I don't think that would have flown in 2014.
Yeah. Well, they have that whole episode in episode 5 where it's like the two of them trying to go on a date that both of them are okay with or can get into. Like, they try to go to a bar, but she gets, like, you know, rejected because she doesn't have an ID. So then they try and go to, like... they go to like a trampoline park or something.
Scene in between those two. I'm sorry to interrupt. Scene in those two where he tries to buy her a 40. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we cannot be doing this right now.
It's like, fine. What's that?
He's going to buy her menthol cigarettes? Like, it's fucking, it is astounding.
Yeah, they keep calling attention to it too.
Right.
Like, they have a black character that's like, what are you doing?
He breaks to the camera when he does it.
But like, they have the black character who's like, why are you doing this?
Do you think that was them like trying to head off criticism?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, a lot of this was.
Yeah, they have the black nerd character who's like, why are you buying, you know, a 40? Why are you buying... But they just keep doing it anyways. Like every single episode, they have a new, more offensive and more specific stereotype.
No. You know what's fucked up? How much?
Like, if it was just sneakers, I'd be like, whatever. Like when they dropped that in the first episode, that's the thing
banjo.
About him.
He plays banjo in the last episode. That's a stereotype from the 1820s.
Okay, yeah, Spencer, you brought that up. Something that I think like the black character and friend in the show reminded me of. You know what it like. Ugh. It reminded me of the black kid in Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, and that's not a thing you want comparisons to.
Yeah, except the kid in this one, the black kid in this one is like nerdy also.
Yeah,
so because
I think they were trying to be like, oh, see, like people come in all different shapes and sizes, and they're like the Elijah character. Yeah, he's a little bit, you know, we want to give a little shout out to black culture, but he also loves Magic the Gathering, and it's like that's
10 years,
that's not enough
as far as stereotypes go. Like, we've been doing the oh, it's fine, he's a nerd shit for a while.
Oh yeah, also like the black character, I don't think he's voiced
we don't
by a black
have to
actor.
Keep calling him the black character.
Well, do
you guys both forget
then,
Elijah?
Okay, I don't fucking know his name.
I know, but like, we can't, if we're going to be the arbiters of racism, we can't be calling him the black guy.
You know, you do make a good point. Yeah. You know, someone...
In my defense, that's what the show calls him for the first three episodes as a joke.
Okay, but we can be better than that. And I get that, yes, it was in the credits, crazy.
In the credits, they say the black character. He's voiced by the same guy who voices Martin.
Yeah, who, by the way, is Filipino.
God.
You go to his Wikipedia page. It is fucking insane. He's been, I swear to God, before this show, I'm looking at it right now. He was in 3 productions. Do you know what they were?
Was one of them the Nut Shack?
2 Pizza Hut commercials and a farmer's insurance commercial.
Oh, hell yeah.
He wasn't even in the Nut Shack.
He wasn't good enough for the Nut Shack.
What an awful fate.
It's so fucking funny.
Can we talk about the animation of this show, too?
It looks bad. I mean, that's surprise, but...
For, like, all the sex jokes or whatever, they have like really like high quality and realistic, or not high quality, but they like really realistically animate like boobs bouncing, and then like when they're just walking around,
it looks like it was in Flash. Yeah,
it looks like it was animated on Scratch.
Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like American Dad now.
Yeah. That's me. It looks like I don't know. Like, American Dad now still looks some better than this.
If you could edit a TV show in an audio editing software, I think that's how this would look.
Yeah, no. It looks like they had 3 frames per action.
like the scene where he's like handing the 40 and it just like does not connect with her hand at all.
Oh, you know what it looks like?
You look close in that scene. His hand doesn't actually close around it. You can still see the fingers poking out.
It looks kind of like Go Animate. The shit looks like Go Animate. Yeah,
100%. It looks like a jib jab.
Yeah, no. I know that, like, the animation quality, like, Brickleberry doesn't have good animation, but, like, who?
But it has functional animation.
Yeah, who animated
Do you think Jib Jab stopped doing years in review videos because their animators had to go work on this show?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's as good
an explanation as any.
They stopped around 2014.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And speaking of Jib Jab, That cameo, we'll talk
John
about it
Kerry,
in a second.
Yeah.
Half. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, what was he doing after? Like,
being
what was he doing in the
being
2010s?
Being Secretary of State.
In 2014?
I'm pretty sure.
Fuck, really? Good for John Kerry.
Yeah.
Anyone 2 Purple Hearts?
Yeah, this is why his, like, Israel peace deal failed, because he was on this show.
Yeah.
This is why Assad never left.
No, you know what?
What?
Yeah, he was the Secretary of State, you're right.
Yeah. It's crazy they got him.
Yeah, I have no idea how it happened. Like, I don't know if... I think...
Maybe they were like, well, look, Futurama got Al Gore. We can get you, well, right?
Yeah, but it's Matt Gray. I think I heard scuttlebutt that... Ratzenberg had, like, his dad worked in the White House in some capacity.
Oh my god.
Yeah, well, obviously, right? He's fucking Hollywood, like, nepo. Yeah. But I think that might be part of it. I might be totally making that up, though.
Imagine being a DC power player and you have a kid
who
like,
makes
oh boy,
Martin's
my kid's gonna be like he's gonna be like a judge or he's gonna be a senator. Maybe, like, worst case scenario, he'll be on, like, you know, school board or something.
Yeah.
And instead he becomes a Hollywood nepo.
Yeah, no, I mean, this
Martin's
is
house. He's like, I wanna make the cartoon that's basically the Turner Diaries, but for Korean people.
Yeah, this is like this is like maybe like a tier below being like CNN correspondent who doesn't last 6 months. As like fuck this is an awful political child.
This is a tier below homeless person.
This is a tier below being, like, a guest speaker on C-SPAN. Like, it's...
This is a tier below heroin addict who lives under a bridge. Like, what are you talking about?
There's a quote from his dad about the show.
Oh, shit.
And he said the dad said that he, quote, didn't watch too much of it, but he is, quote, happy to support his son in all of his endeavors.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, no, that's...
He didn't watch much of it, though.
I mean, that's, backhanded for sure. But also, like, yeah, now I'm thinking about it, that is kind of PR speaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
what else do you say as this kid's dad?
Like if Hunter Biden made a show, that's what Joe Biden would say about
it. I mean Joe wouldn't
also,
say it.
These guys are, like, 43, or at least when this came out, yeah.
Also, Joe Biden would not be as, he would not say that as clearly. He would say it more like, I said this.
He would, well, you couldn't hear him because he'd be kissing his son on the head too hard. He loves smooching that boy.
He loves sniffing hair, just generally.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
This is the first I'm hearing of this. Can we talk about... I don't think we're going to go episode by episode. I don't think this is a show that warrants that.
No.
Can we talk about
God,
the...
No.
Can we talk about the ghost episode?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Because I don't know if they were going for a literal depiction of rape. But what they put on that screen, there's no other way to interpret it.
I think, like, it is possible that the animators sent in something they should not have as a, like, something they made
like
as a
to
joke.
Fuck with them.
I mean,
the
ghost, he has sex with the ghost, and it doesn't seem
The ghost good for keeps either saying of them? No. And he's like, what's that, boo? Like, it's not even a good joke. And then the fucking close-up on the ghost's face.
Like, they really didn't want to write this off as a dark joke. They wanted to see the ghost suffering.
Yes! It's like, and I get, like, one of those things where it's like, oh, you're punishing the audience. Like, haha, that's, like, that can be a type of joke.
And I kind, like, you know, ghost hunting reality shows were all the rage. And, like, the thing of, like, them acting terrified when, like, clearly nothing happening is there. So I think, like, the sense of, like, oh, they're more of a threat to the ghost than the ghost is to them. I kind of, but, like, I think they not thought, like, this.
But the way it tied into, like, the thematic, whatever, arc of Toby, like, starting the episode as a virgin and then, like, ending the episode being like, I could do it. Like, it made it clear that, like, they thought this was, like, an actual part of the, like, this was an actual thing to do rather than, like, a sick, twisted, like, joke or whatever.
I think they tried to imply the ghost was a child molester. But
that doesn't,
like,
make it better.
Yeah, that they thought it would cancel out.
Like, that's, like, not, well, how that
the
works.
Ghost was based on Gary Glitter, so it's okay. Also, you can do whatever you want to.
Why the fuck does Toby want to have sex with a dead child molester?
Yeah, why? They made him look like Gary Glitter, and it's like, why did they do that? I'm not saying they should have, like, made it even worse, but, like, why did they call... I guess the joke was, like, oh, he tried to conjure a sexy ghost, but he ended up with Gary Glitter, but, like... that.
Oh, should we talk about Toby? I don't think we brought up the Toby character.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Toby.
So Toby is his co-worker, like the guy who drives the garbage truck and he puts the garbage in. And his whole thing is just that he's addicted to coffee.
Yeah.
Which I like, what he's like, hey, they have a white guy, which good on them. I didn't think they could do that. But the idea that, like, literally the only joke of his character is that he drinks coffee.
And he's a virgin.
Well, that, I mean, that's, I feel like, more a one-off character trait. But, yeah, it's so funny because they went so hard on the other ones. Like, it is so, most of the other characters are so racially charged.
Yeah.
Like, even the teacher character, who I don't remember her name, but her whole thing is that she's from, like, a poor African country.
They called her Miss Dinkle, which...
That can't be...
It's what stereo did they like? Did they like shuffle the stereotypes by accident? Did they like have like?
I didn't like it when characters started also referring to her in shorthand as Dinkler. That was
Dinkler,
that was not good.
It. I mean, I genuinely do feel like when they started making the show, every character was a different race, and somehow like the stereotypes just stayed.
They just had it on index cards, and someone dropped the index cards, and they're just like, oh, got to put it back together.
But anyway, Toby is like a big guy with a beard. His whole thing is he drinks coffee. I think they had like a couple Mumford and Sons jokes, right? Because this was like the era for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were like, oh, haha, he goes to coffee bars. And it's like, okay. And? But yeah, so Toby is the character who
One joke that I did laugh at a little bit was then Toby is like, he's drinking a 40 with them and it's a 40 of coffee.
That was like good. As far as visual gags go, that was solid.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But no, they don't go nearly hard enough on the Toby anti-white racism. Like, they're a little protective of it.
Well,
they're like,
he likes coffee
and he's a little corny. Yeah. Again, the guy who made this is Filipino. He's not white.
No, the main... Oh, wait, shit. I totally fucked up. Yeah, Kramer is Filipino. That is funny.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Ratzenberg, who I'm fairly certain is a Jewish man.
Yeah.
It doesn't say much on his Wikipedia page, but I'm assuming.
But yeah, no, Kramer is Filipino. And they're very, very protective of, you know, this corny white guy who's addicted to coffee.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, God damn. Oh man, it's all the stereotypes in the show. I kind of want to give them credit almost for how like just out of nowhere some of them come. Like they have like a gay character and his whole thing is like he wears like headdresses and I don't
Like, yeah, like full Native American headdresses.
Yeah.
Which, like, do they think that's what drag is?
Yeah, no. I think they do. I think they think, like, I'm looking at the second season right now, and they have a drag show episode, and everyone in drag is wearing a headdress.
That's so funny. So,
do you think...
I think that's what they thought it was.
Do you think they do measurements with, like, the totem pole? Is that part of the bit?
What? Like, what are you talking about?
Or they use a totem pole to, like, measure...
What measurements?
Like dresses and stuff for the drag show.
That's... Okay. No, I don't think they think that.
Okay.
I don't think they're smart enough to get that specific with stereotypes.
I like how you were about to yell, and then you were like, all right, I guess that I can give you that one.
No, it was...
Yeah, you win this one, Andrew.
I'm not giving it to you. It was just, I was just like, that is too banal for me to pick an argument about. Do you remember the fucking Lunar New Year episode? Like, while we're on the topic of stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
The B story in that... with Elijah and his jacuzzi, and like it was very clear that they thought having a jacuzzi was a like a black guy thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what was up with that? Is that a stereotype I don't know about?
I have no idea.
Because
yeah, I'm not comfortable answering, but like that was pretty crazy.
Like,
yeah.
Like they're like, Elijah, you have a jacuzzi. Like, it's like that South Park thing where it's like, you can play bass.
But, yeah.
It's like, you have a jacuzzi. It's like, no one has a jacuzzi.
Yeah. Like, is he like a 15-year-old with a divorced mom?
Yeah. Like, yeah, bachelors.
Who else has a jacuzzi?
That's like swingers are the stereotype.
From Long Island? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. But it's just assumed that he has a jacuzzi. And the only thing I can consider like that they would get that from is that he is a black man. And yeah, then to make matters worse, they make it so Martin is really into the jacuzzi. In like the late in episode 8, they go back to the jacuzzi and Martin's a big fan of it, which makes me think that it is like a stereotype against African-Americans that I've never heard of.
Yeah. And the white character, yeah. Like the white character is like a little afraid to get into the jacuzzi.
He dips he like dips the toe in and then he puts it out and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like,
yeah, he's hopping around.
Yeah.
They've got like a little flame coming out of his toe.
Which is, that's also a weird implication. Is the implication that white people don't like jacuzzis?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, what?
Like, white people, it's like holy water.
Is this like a segregated interest?
Are they like, what? Is hot water too spicy? Is that the joke we're making here?
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't make that joke.
I guess
so. Andy could be a better writer for the show.
Honestly, Andy could have done punch up on half these scripts.
I guess you could say that I'm cooking.
I don't get it.
All right.
Could you explain yourself, Andy?
I don't think I can. I'm sick.
Could you explain that joke?
That joke was for me.
No, can you? I'm interested to hear what you were going for there. Can you explain what the intent of that joke was?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. Like, what were you cooking? What does cooking have to do with anything? How sick Andy is.
Yeah. Also, we're just
every time he tries to laugh,
man.
He just coughs and just. We're gonna make him choke to death on air.
Yeah, we'll let him recover. Can we talk
his dad's gonna run up and Andy's gonna have like a purple face.
Just giving him the Heimlich maneuver while we're in the background being like, fucking Martin. Can we talk about the episode where Martin's grandma comes from Korea? And she's calling everyone like child and baby girl.
Yeah, that's
that's bold.
Like, that's like one of the only jokes I like in the series. If they were actually trying to like make that, like if the joke was like trying to lean in and being like, haha, look at the silly thing we're doing. That's funny. If it was literally just held over from when the Martin character was black, it is the worst thing I've ever seen on network television.
Well, it's also made extra funny since, like, Martin's parents are, like, very traditional, like, you know, Korean parents or whatever.
They must have been added after, yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess they realized what they were doing and they were like, all right, folks, only one thing to do, double down. Double down real hard.
Part of me is wondering if they wrote that joke early before the switch, or they wrote that episode early before the switch, and then they were just like, we'll just use the script because they're fundamentally lazy people.
Probably just one of the fumbled out guards. in the writer's room.
Like, she like pulls a switch off a tree and hits him with it, which I guess that could be like a traditionally, like, you know, Asian grandparent thing. But like, it feels very much like I can't, my whole job, like, I can't just be cataloging weird racial insensitivities this whole episode, but it strikes me as very strange.
Yeah, no, we can talk about the sexist insensitivities in the show too.
Yes. So do we want to get, I don't know if we actually want to dive too deep into the thing with his quote unquote love interest.
Yeah.
But so there is a character in this show named Bailey Hayden, who is a
14-year-old
girl who goes to East Landmark High School, the same place that, you know, Martin has, as we said earlier, enrolled in to try to, instead of getting his GEDs, enrolled back in school while still working as a garbage man.
He didn't get to keep his credits either, which is like, oh god, we gotta have four seasons of this shit.
I don't know how that works. It is funny that they thought they would get four seasons. Like, they built in that, like, oh yeah, we gotta do 4 years of this.
In an interview, he said that if they got a fifth season, they would just send him to college and keep the series going. So they did not have an exit ramp.
He already has a job. What the fuck does he need college for?
Yeah, he's got like a union job. Yeah, he has
garbage man pays pretty well. The job sucks, and like, you have to go out in a lot of bad weather. The job pays pretty well, and it is very easy to strike if you're like in the sanitation industry.
I'm gonna be honest, this is not a major story, but for like 2 years straight, we had one of the worst fucking garbage contractors ever running our city. Our trash was always late, like sometimes like days late. Like, we were like, I think Tuesday, shit would not get picked up till like Friday or Saturday.
Do you consider that they were going by your house and looking in your garbage being like, people have gay garbage, and just refuse to pick it up?
That would be the question why they did that for every other garbage on the block.
Oh yeah.
When they worked at the pizza place, the garbage people didn't pick up our garbage for like a full month, so we just had like a literal mountain piled up by the side.
Oh
yeah,
god,
your garbage was gay.
The place,
yeah,
I work.
Change until we put a not gay.
We have
sign
a problem
of
our store has their own dumpsters, and sometimes people will just.
Yeah, his name is Andy.
And sometimes people will just fill their dump their trash in our dumpsters, so that like people get so that like we can't put our shit in it. There we go. That's the sentence.
Yeah, I do that.
Thank you. Oh, you make my
I do that too.
Yeah,
my job a lot easier.
Not to you in particular, but like sometimes when I'm walking by like a Starbucks or something and I see they have garbage cans out and I have like a
no, that's fine. But I'm talking about like they have like a truck full and they will drop.
Oh, okay.
Off. Yeah, like
that's really funny.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Just being like, why? This one's for.
That would be funny. You should like make like a put like a lock with like a security code on it and see what happens.
They did put a lock on it, but one of the locks broke. So.
Oh my god.
So
they hired the main character from Thief to fucking break it up. They had to do a fucking stealth mission to get the garbage.
Yeah, I think they found out like where it was because like the trash had the name of the company on it. They called it. And then was fine for a few months, and now new people have moved in dumping their trash in our shit. So
that's awesome.
Can we get back? Because we are getting
yeah,
a little
getting
up there, and we still have like two or three main characters, yeah. Or I guess not main characters, but two or three of the regular recurring cast. Who
yeah,
not
and
no,
I've got to say.
So Bailey Hayden.
We've reviewed some very questionable characters like
Alan Gregory,
but
for sure. Yeah.
This is like a whole. They let Humbert make this character.
It is seemingly constructed without any sense of humor about the situation. It is clear that one or both of the showrunners, and I'm not even going to say allegedly because it is clear from watching the show, thought that a grown man, I think we get an actual age for Martin that's like
21.
He's like 32. Oh shit! I thought he was way older. I might have.
Yeah, they're kind of inconsistent about it. Like he's 21, but
yeah.
Like he has like a house, but then his parents live in it.
Let's assume he's in at least his mid 20s. they think it is completely normal for a person in their mid-20s to date a 14-year-old if and only if he is currently enrolled in a high school.
Yeah, they play like a Sarah Bareilles song when they first meet. Like, there's yeah. no, like, irony here or whatever.
Yeah. As about as sincere as I have ever seen an emotional beat be in one of these shows.
Oh my god, dude. And the beach episode, they were having too much fun animating
the
fucking, her.
The way the camera chases her from head to toe.
It is Holy like some shit. Anime. It's like an anime beach episode. It's really
it genuinely
bad.
It's the first example of American Lolly I've ever seen.
And the worst part is that like her entire class is there, so it's not just her. Everyone in her fucking ninth grade class is animated like that.
Yeah, even the boys, which like were it not so creepy, I would almost respect.
It is crazy that like it was aired on TV. Like that, yeah. not just that they made it, but that like
yeah.
someone yeah. at the FTC like fucked up.
It's hard. Managed to slip through multiple layers of production and distribution to get on. What channel was this on? I forget.
It was on MTV. Well, it was at 1 a.m. MTV, so yes. they probably were like, yeah.
I guess they get the like Adult Swim style where they were like, who's watching this?
The fucked up thing is like it seems like the only person who was mad at this was the reviewer for the AV Club who
that nerd.
Oh, Emily Vanderwolf.
Emily St. James gave this episode a C- and said it was quote really weird.
Yeah.
Which I mean, hey, props to her.
You got it right. Yeah.
It was very weird. Or the fucking prom episode where it's like they make him trying to drive his garbage truck to get to prom on time. Like, obviously there are jokes involved, you know, oh, the garbage truck's going too slow. Oh, we have to pick up all the trash on the way. Oh, my tux got dirty. Whatever. Like, I get that you're building jokes. But then when they get there and, like, he sees her across the dance floor dancing with nobody, you know, all sad, and then he goes over and starts dancing with her, they play it like they're both teenagers. They play it like it would be an emotional beat in, like, fucking One Day at a Time or something.
So you remember that season 4 of Game of Thrones? That's 2014, same year this season aired. Season 4, Game of Thrones, that was the one that had the episode where Jaime rapes Cersei and they didn't mean to put it in there. The prom episode...
10,000 articles about that.
The prom episode came out in the same week as that. So imagine you're on the beat for both Game of Thrones and Martin's House and you have to review this back to back.
I mean... I don't know how you don't end it all. But here's the thing. I'm looking on Google right now. I see exactly 3 articles that even mention it.
I mean, I guess they were...
Which I get. Weirder time spot, less, you know, prestige channel, whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that in the middle of, like, the personal essay explosion, the exodus of every Jezebel writer, I do not understand how... This was not, like, a national conversation.
Yeah, no, Big Mouth gets more attention to this, and that show is, like, a joke. Like, that show...
Yeah, no, that show is doing his bit.
Say what you will about Big Mouth being kind of weird or gross, but, like, it's not endorsing... It wasn't written by Allen Ginsberg. Like, it's...
I mean, it was written by a CIA asset, so maybe. No, it's just fucking unreal. Like, in season 2, I heard scuttlebutt. They might have scrapped it, and obviously it didn't end up premiering. I heard that they were in the finale, they were going to start dating.
Like,
which is, like, that might have been why it got canceled. Like, I know the blackface episode probably had a lot to do with it.
I think, honestly.
The outrage to that was just fucking insane, but, like... Yeah,
it probably was the Nielsen ratings. It was probably like the Nielsen point
that probably
3.
Didn't help either. There was a lot of reasons for this show to go off the air, but holy crap!
It is crazy. This lasted for like more episodes than that fucking Geico caveman show
or the Napoleon or Dynamite show.
Oh yeah, no, it is crazy that this got.
I will say, it's not. better, but it's less depressing than the Napoleon Dynamite show.
Sure, it's at least interesting in like the crazy ideas and like things it believes.
I knew that show existed first, but earlier in the episode, I'm like, did we watch that? We did watch that.
And it's less depressing because clearly the people who made Martin's House were very passionate about it.
Yeah.
Whereas Napoleon Dynamite,
in a way that makes it very creepy. Yeah.
Whereas the Napoleon Dynamite show is a bunch of people realizing, our careers are going nowhere. I guess we're doing this.
What are we even doing? Like, how do we do this?
Yeah. Fucking insane.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Do we have any other episodes that are really, really popping out?
They have like the musical episode where they have two musical numbers, which like, I know it's a 20-minute show, but like only two, like,
yeah, you think if you're going for the musical episode, you have like four.
Yeah.
At least three. So you could have one in the beginning, middle and end in between the commercial breaks. Like, you know,
yeah, they have like two musical numbers and one of them is like a pop song that they just licensed,
which I mean, you have to imagine there was some studio interference there, right?
Yeah, no. They have one song and it's like an I Want number, like a standard musical I Want number. And then they sing like Sail by Owl Nation. That's not even like a really musical sounding song. They just kind of like, they just have the cast sing it as like the closing number.
Yeah. Very strange, very weird choices, very 2014.
Yes. Yeah, that song was big in like 2011, though. They're really fucking behind the times.
Yeah, I know. They're late to everything. But like, I could see like in 2014, someone's still thinking that's like a relevant song.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to discuss? It's like an early one. So obviously, like, you want to give them some credit. They're finding their footing or whatever. But the episode where he has to give a report about his like background and like his hometown, and he's from Compton. That's what first got me thinking, like, okay, there's something going on here, because they don't say it, but they imply that Martin, this Korean American garbage collector who lives in Nebraska, is a Crip. Which,
I mean, it's not as funny as the South Park Crips episode, but what is?
Sure, but the racial, I'm sorry that I have been harping on this all episode, but just the racial politics of this show are so fucking
It's like
confused.
There's nothing else to talk about because all the jokes are like the same thing as like you know, Brickleberry or whatever, where they just
that just happened. Yeah,
it's like or they just like talk really fast and then they say something just like, oh man, you've got like a big vagina, right? Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, so random.
Yeah, no.
Or what's the episode with Mr. Helper where it's like he's talking about his nose. He's like, that nose could rid the world's cocaine problem. And it's like, are you guys like anti-drug suddenly? Why is that the one thing you're good on?
Yeah,
I don't know if being anti-drug is necessarily good, but you know, I think.
No, but I'm like, is that? But I couldn't tell like where they were coming from. Like, is it a joke? Like, is it a joke that Martin is anti-drug, or is this like a genuinely held belief by the showrunners? I wouldn't put it past.
They also say like that nose could sniff out crime on the streets, and I'm not sure if they're joking or not. Like, I think they have,
but you think that they think he can actually do that?
Yeah, they think McGruff the crime dog is real.
Yeah, no, it's like that episode of Family Guy where Brian comes to fucking drug dog.
It's like, well, they think dogs literally sniff out crime. Like the
I think they just think that like the bigger the nose, the better you are at solving.
Oh, it's
crimes.
Like a gaydar, but for crime.
Yeah.
No. Do you remember the episode where Mr. Helper, like, Martin's in trouble, he's like trapped underneath his garbage truck and he calls for help and Mr. Helper uses his nose like a jetpack to get over there? I thought that was actually a cute bit of
appreciate them drawing all the snot. That was a bit
much. That was kind of like Ren and Stimpy where I was like, eh, you guys don't have to. Yeah.
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 But no, that was, it's like, there's like a few little like cute visual gags. Most of them are the ones that are like floating around on Twitter right now are like the half decent visual gags.
And I think that's why it's getting the, like, such a revival, is that very few people are actually hearing the dialogue.
Yeah, no.
It's mostly like Mr. Helper using his nose like a jetpack, or that one scene where, what's the teacher's name again? Mrs. Dinkle or whatever is like dropping it to the floor and like twerking. And it's like, that's the racial politics of that, or I'm not going to discuss, but like they animate it very funny because she's very bad at twerking. That might be one that people have like seen.
Yeah, this does have a few
like,
visually interesting flares at points. You can tell where
I think that's where the jerky animation comes in handy. Because, like, it is very... a lot of the visual jokes almost work as, like, still images.
Yeah, or in the beach episode where, what is it, like, one of the white kids at the school, like, he walks out onto the beach and immediately catches on fire. Like, that's...
That was fun.
Yeah, like, they have like, little gags here.
The joke being, like, white people can't be in the sun, whatever. The way that they animate it where it's, like, his eyes are melting out of his head, funny.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Although it is very dark for this show because you don't see that character again.
No, like we are left to assume that he died.
Yeah. Like it's not like a Family Guy, like the character dies back next scene. He's just like not in the show anymore.
Or the episode where Toby finds like the world's biggest bong and like it's about to explode. So he sits on it and like it shoots all of the smoke up his ass. And then he gets like high and you see like it coming out of his eyes and his nose and his ears and his mouth. Like that's, it's cute. Like,
yeah, but no, it's,
which but that episode was also weird to me because it's the only time that the show gets like, I guess the ghost episode also, but like it goes like full fantasy in that one. It's like, how realistic are we supposed to?
Yeah. It's like most of it feels like they're trying to keep it somewhat grounded and then they'll just have like, you know, like zombies.
It's mostly the Toby stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Toby fighting zombies or Toby going on a quest for the world's biggest bomb.
Awesome to do in 2014.
Yeah, it's like, you guys, this isn't played out for you guys at all.
Yeah.
I hesitate to call it Nine Gag the show because it is genuinely weird and idiosyncratic enough to like, in its comedic sensibilities.
I would say it's more iFunny the show, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's iFunny the show because it's really racist.
But it's like iFunny if like it was also 8chan.
You forget how racist iFunny was. People would like show me like iFunny memes and they're about like Muslim rape gangs and I'm like, why are you showing me this?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
You're right. I was like, people forget. I was like, what the fuck? Why is iFunny so racist? How'd that happen?
It would just be like it would be like you know, that like little Poland ball. It would be like the Swedish flag, just like with its glasses, like the face when rapists overrun your country, but you don't want to get called racist.
Yeah. Okay. Then yes, that is the ethos behind this show.
Yeah. No, it's an extremely, it's like racist in the most tacky way possible.
Yeah. It's fucking.
No,
do we have any other episodes that we want to?
No. No, I think like we've pretty thoroughly exhausted everything there is to talk about, because once you get past the racial stuff, it's just like a bad show that's just like exceptionally ill-conceived.
I will say the episode where they force Martin to kiss that sex worker is one of the grossest things outside of the ghost stuff, which we already covered. It might be worse than the ghost one. It is one of the grossest like sexual politics I have ever seen on a television show.
They make the sex worker look like Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And it's like, in
a way where it is unmistakable that that's what they were going for.
Yeah, it's literally she has the taxi driver fit on.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, she's supposed to be an adult, but like,
but
you guys know what you're doing.
Especially because like, you know, I am very sensitive about like little people, you know, like people with dwarfism. That's like one thing where I'm like, let's be cool here. It is tough to be someone with dwarfism. But the fact that that's also part of it, and we are both supposed to see it as funny and an indication that she's kind of like childlike, is,
yeah,
it's just one of the grossest things I've ever seen on a television show in terms of like sexual morality. And I'm not like a prude about that stuff, but watching it made me feel genuinely like sick in my soul.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought you chopped up. I thought you just cut out. All right, well, folks, that's going to do it. Thank you for listening to another cartoon review from those good old-fashioned values. And I think next week we're diving into what's that Matt Groening show that everyone hates?
Disenchanted?
Yeah, Disenchanted. I think we're starting with season one of that.
No, I've watched a couple episodes.
It's funny.
It has
a really rushed ending, of course, because, you know, streaming show.
Matt Groening. Yeah.
Matt Groening through the whole series, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. They're going to be Matt moaning because he thinks it's hot.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
With the man.
What?
Bye-bye.
What?
To get comfy in your seat.